Blog Talk Radio.
Worship in our spirit. I just can do nothing more than just keep telling God, thank you, thank you, thank you for a wonderful, wonderful birthday on yesterday. Oh my, it was awesome. Church service was on fire. The Holy Spirit showed up, showed out. We had, oh my, it was just awesome. That's all I can say. It was awesome. And I just shout out to my pastor, Paul, who brought a message from Mark, from Luke, actually, chapter 17 and chapter 18 on pride. You know, how we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. It was a wonderful, wonderful service. Sister Carolyn showed out in praise and worship. It was awesome, just awesome. My family was there, and all I can say is I'm just so thankful. I'm grateful, and I'm truly blessed to be a child of the Most High God, for God is good, and His mercy endures forever and all times. And I thank Him for my birthday gift, which was my son, and answering my prayers of my children, being with me, all of my children, being with me on, and I know God is just setting up for some great things. Hallelujah. So let us get into our word this morning. It is a great and awesome word because, you know, we're getting ready to start seeing a transition in leadership. As we get ready to go into Numbers and going into Deuteronomy, we're going to understand that God is getting Joshua prepared to take over as leader. And that's what God does. He prepares future leaders now. You know, so we know that right now we have a pastor, we have pastors, we have ministers, we have deacons, and we got a whole nother generation that we're going to start having to train to take over those positions. As we get older, other directions, there's going to have to be leaders to take our place that will want to do it for a duration. You know, my sister in Christ and I were speaking on Saturday and yesterday. We have been together in ministry going on 20 years. And it just totally floors me that we are going on 20 years of ministry together. And wow, is all I can say is wow, 20 years of ministry and understanding how awesome that is. And the fact that we are still doing it, still ministering, still working with children and working with adults and working with women and working in ministry, and knowing that God is in charge. And what you think is just for a minute or two can become a lifetime. So I thank God for all my blessings. I thank Him for all of you. And I ask you to continue to move forward with us. I thank God for my who sung happy birthday to me. You know, so Kirk Franklin, if you're listening, you know, record contract for old girls. You know, come on now. Hook older girls up. We got you. Hallelujah. Just out there. Loving God and just being excited to teach His word and continually asking you to pray for the Franklin family, you know, because we all have our issues with our sons and our daughters and our children, but nobody wants their business all out in the street. So I just say keep the family in prayer and keep your tongue behind your teeth if you can't say anything nice. Let's get started. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made, for you, Lord God, are great and gracious to be praised. Father God, I lift up all those that are hurting today, the families of those that are still grieving over the loss of their loved ones from COVID and so many other things, Lord God. For all those that died last year and into this year did not die of COVID. You know, we're just talking about the 500,000 that died of COVID. But Lord, we ask you to watch over the families of those that lost loved ones to diabetes, to cancer. Lord God, to all those illnesses that are out there, to ALS. I lift up those families, Lord God. Those that have lost loved ones due to Parkinson's and so many other things, suicide and murder. Lord God, I lift up all grieving families today, asking you to watch over them, to guide them, to lead them in the direction you will go. And Lord, put your angels of compassion and mercy surrounding them to give them comfort in the midnight hour, when the enemy is his busiest. Lord God, we bind and rebuke all those spirits that attack when you're the most vulnerable in your sleep. We ask you, Lord God, to watch over our families, our children, our church families, and our coworkers as well, Lord God. I pray that you give my youngest son a great day on his first day of his new job. And I thank you for it, Lord God, for answered prayers. Lord God, I thank you for just your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your kindness. And Lord, I ask you to please increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. For you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing that this word is true, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. Let us get into the word this morning. And the word says in Numbers chapter 27 through chapter 28, verse 31. And it says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these were the names of the daughters: Milah, Noah, Hegla, Melchi, Tarzah. And they stood before Moses, before Elijah, the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle meeting, saying, our father died in the wilderness, but he was not company of those who gathered together against the Lord in the company with Korah. But he died in his own sin and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family because he had no sons? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brother, then you shall give his inheritance to the relative family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be to the children of Israel a statute of judgment, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into the Mount Abram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. There, these are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And we know that at the waters of Meribah, Moses decided to hit the rock instead of speak to the rock, because the Lord said, speak to the rock and the waters will come to hallow God. And instead he got so frustrated and so angry with the children of Israel that he hit the rock. And he and Aaron, that was both their downfall, where they neither one would make it into the promised land. So we have gone through 40 years. God didn't give us all 40 years in this word. We'll get some of it in Deuteronomy. But in this 40 years, they've walked. They've been there. And that's why the daughter said, hey, our dad's died. He wasn't in that mess. He didn't have nothing to do with the corrupt. He had his own sins to deal with. But we should get our inheritance. So we have to understand that everything is for a purpose and a reason. And then it goes on to say, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, Joshua, y'all know that's my favorite, the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at there, and you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord, two male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as grain offering, mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering, which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, and it and its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb in a holy place. You shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering and its drink offering. You shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year without blemish, as a grain offering mixed with oil with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. At the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil for each bull, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil for the one ram, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with oil as a grain offering, for each lamb as a burnt offering, a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be 1/2 hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 of a hin for a ram, and 1/5 of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month, throughout the months of the year. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and drink offering. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day of you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in the first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah you shall offer for a bull, and 2/10 for a ram. You shall offer 1/10 of an ephah for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these beside the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. In this manner you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days as a sweet aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering, and on the 7th day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. Also on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year, with their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 kid of the goats to make atonement for you. Be sure they are without blemish. You shall present them with their drink offerings, besides the regular burnt offerings, with its grain offering. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, this year we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. And I tell you, this is an awesome Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. You know, everybody should have a King James Version, a NIV, a NLT, and I happen to like New King James. You know, get you some different types, and Amplified is good as well. You know, if you need that extra understanding of what you're reading, because it makes it easier to understand when you have several different versions. You know, we understand there is only one Bible, and I know many say that it's King James, which is why I like New King James, because all it does is take out the thems, the thous, and the older English-sounding words and put them into modern words like thee and they and us and we. You know, so it just makes it a little easier to read. But you should have different types of Bible. You know, I have one Bible that is really awesome, and it is the Old Testament is in Hebrew and the New Testament is in Greek. And it's translated from Hebrew to English and from Greek to English. And it is really awesome when you hear the word written in the original context and content. So it's good to have different types of Bibles if it helps you understand the word. The word help you understand it and continue to read it, because when we meditate on this word day and night, it helps us to get through the day. You know, if I don't read my word in the morning, I feel like my day is all off kilter. This gets us all focused for the day to go forth, and it also gives you, I feel, a hedge of protection from the wiles of the sneaky snake. And we all know who he is, and we're not going to even call his name. So let's get started, and we're going to get back to some examples, life lessons, all come from Dr. Stanley. And if I'm giving commentary, I'll just say, and I feel this way or that. So, you know, that's not Dr. Stanley's words. And so this is the changing of the guard. It's the beginning of the change from Moses to Joshua. And God is getting Joshua prepared to take over the leadership of these people that have been together some since they were little kids. Because understand, if they were 20 and older, they didn't get in. They all are dead in the wilderness somewhere over these 40 years. Only ones are Joshua and Caleb that are going to make it to the promised land from the original crew of people from Egypt. All of these children, well, not original, because some of them were children or babies when they left Egypt, 40-ish, 50-ish, 60-ish years old, some of these guys and women. And so all they know, most of them, is the wilderness. And so it's a whole new ball game that Joshua is dealing with than what Moses dealt with. Moses dealt with rebellious folks that had come out of Egypt, whereas Joshua is dealing with a group of nomads that have never had a home. They've only had tents. They've only been able to roam the wilderness 40 years, some of them lifetimes, born in the wilderness, watched their parents die in the wilderness. You know, so you understand that there's a whole lot going on here with Joshua taking over. So let's read some words. It says, Joshua, the need for courage. It said, anytime you take a risk for God, you will need courage, and that is the truth. Joshua certainly understood this requirement. The Lord challenged Joshua with the mission of getting a multitude of Israelites across the Jordan River so they might claim the land of promise. Before sending the people across the river, the Lord exhorted Joshua three times to have courage, telling him to remember the promises he had made to his forefathers, reminding him to obey the law of Moses, promising Joshua he would be with him every step of the way. Fear and discouragement are subject to your will. Through faith in God, you can rule over them, not them over you. Remind yourselves daily of what you heard God say in his word. Stay close to him and refuse to allow yourself to give in to fear and discouragement. We got to understand that when God chooses you, he will equip you. And, you know, it says life lessons, Numbers 27 and 12. Go up into this Mount Aram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. God would not allow Moses to enter the promised land because of his public disobedience at the waters of Meribah. But in his grace, he did allow him to view the land from a distance, even in judgment. God is merciful. Numbers 27 and 18, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. God authorized Moses to make Joshua a man in whom is the Spirit, the next leader of Israel. Spirit-filled leadership, kind of leadership worth following. The best leaders know to follow God's example and direction. And I am so grateful to be a part of Spirit-led leadership. I will tell you this, my pastor is not going to do anything without seeking God first. You know, she will be the first one to say, we got to pray on that. We got to, you know, we got to ask God for the vision on that. And that's what we do. We pray on it and we ask God for the vision of it. But God is in charge of everything. And we got to know who's in charge. God's in charge. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34, verses 8 through 14. And it says this, and this is the title of our lesson. It's coming from Psalms 34, 8 through 14. And I just want to give a title today. And our title is, Blessed is the Man Who Trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man. And, you know, in this politically correct climate, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord. But the bottom line, the word is not about who, but all should trust in the Lord. And it says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And that's our title. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. But we blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I got to seek God every day because I know that I am one of those ones that has a moment and I will walk in fear and I have to stop and come back to Joshua chapter 1 and read it again, that the word of God tells me to be strong and courageous. And that is what we must do, be strong and courageous. We cannot walk in fear. Fear is not of God. Fear is the enemy. And he loves to cause you to fear. Because if he can get you fearful, then you won't walk in your promise. And as we come forth, it says in verse 11 of Psalms, chapter 34, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may be good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's a word. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. I like to say, keep your tongue behind your teeth. You don't have to make a comment on everything and everybody. We got to sometimes just keep our tongue behind our teeth. But don't be afraid to put somebody in check who thinks that they're going to tell you what you're doing and da-da-da-da-da. If that is not what God told you to do, don't do it. Just because he said, she said, woo-woo said. And don't get yourself caught up because the enemy is good at subterfuge. He will make you think that he is the voice of God. And the next thing you know, you walking all out of whack, all helter-skelter, and you wondering why things are going the way they're going. Because you're not walking in the calling. You're not walking where God told you to walk. You're trying to do your own thing. Be careful. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Because the enemy is good at deception. I tell you this, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And don't be double-minded. Don't be double-minded. I'm here today, I'm gone tomorrow. I'm here today, I'm gone tomorrow. My one foot in, one foot out. One foot in, one foot out. God sees all that stuff. Going from here to there, everywhere. Helter-skelter. God is not a helter-skelter God. He will tell you what to do and how to do it. You just got to follow him. But the one thing we must do is trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we got to acknowledge him and watch him direct your path. God is good all the time, and his mercy endures forever and ever. Hallelujah. We got to, as I say, like we said in yesterday's lesson, that psalm word just did me. Ooh, I love that psalm word. Psalm 34, the beginning of it on yesterday. We started it, and it was awesome. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And then the word tells us in Psalms chapter 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's my highlightable. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamp all around those who fear him and deliver them. And we're just going to go back and read that Psalms word one more time, and we're going to just keep it all going. Oh, take and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord and his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Did you hear that? Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Proverbs 11 and 29. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. What a word. Let's get into our Mark word this morning. And we know that it is the betrayal. It's coming. Wow. Judas. There's a Judas in the midst so many times. You know, those ones that love to talk about and vilify others. It ain't right, but they do it. But let's keep it moving. This is the word in Mark chapter 14. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might take him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. And we remember reading this in Matthew. This word always just does something to my spirit. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves, and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. That's a lot of money. 300 denarii is a lot of money. So when you say costly oil, it was expensive. It was that expensive stuff. But she was probably very wealthy. But understand, as we continue, it says, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body. A burial. He knew he was going to die. She has come beforehand to anoint body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And it has been told as a memorial to her in song, in dance, and in the word. Because I'm going to tell you, I can't listen to Alabaster Box by C.C. Winans without just breaking into tears, because it hits my spirit. It just does something to me. Because nobody knows the cost of your oil. Nobody knows the cost. Nobody knows the cost of your pain. Nobody knows but God what any of us have gone through or are going through. Hallelujah. This woman with her little alabaster box of oil, alabaster flask of oil, a little bottle, her bottle of oil. Nobody knows. And then we got Judas. It says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that we may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there. Make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them. And they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? He answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. What a word. And this is what it says in Mark 14 and 10. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. Judas went to the religious authorities with his offer to betray Jesus immediately after Jesus rebuked him for criticizing a woman who had honored the Lord with an expensive gift. And also, is it going to be in John chapter 6, chapter 12, verse 6? And understand, he got his, because Judas was a treasurer, but he was also a thief and was stealing money from the treasury. He wasn't doing right, but he didn't like being rebuked. But understand that that is a leader's job. If you are not doing what you're supposed to do, it is their job to chastise you. It is their job to rebuke you if you are out of order. Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, if anybody should have had a moment, that should have been Peter being called Satan. But Judas being told, you're not getting this. How about we can sell it, you know, to help the poor? No, you wanted to sell it so you could make a little money on the side. Like Jesus didn't know you were stealing. Come on now. And then it goes on to tell us in Mark chapter 14, 16, his disciples went into the city and found it just as he had said to them. Just as the disciples found the Passover preparations, just as Jesus had told them, so we will find life to be just as he tells us. We will always find our smoothest life path by carefully following Jesus' instructions. And that is our word for this morning. You know, as we continue, we're going to get into some serious words, you know, especially as we get into Deuteronomy and Joshua, you know, and learning these books of the Bible as we go along. You know, we have gone into Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and we are now in Numbers in the Old Testament. We've gone through almost four books of the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we're in Matthew, and now we're in Mark. Two of the books of the New Testament. We have almost gone through six books of the Bible. We got 60 more to go, but understand that God is guiding us through. All we have to do is follow. And I'm not including Psalms and Proverbs in this. But we must understand that God's word is true. He is so good. And all we have to do is believe. Just believe. Just believe who you are in God. And know that in God we place it all. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and watch him work in your life. I thank God for each of you. I thank you for listening this morning, and I ask God to continue to watch over you, continue to bless you, continue to guide you, and let his light and love shine upon you today and every day. Thank you so much. I thank God. I praise God. I give God the honor and the glory for everything in my life and everything I do. Let us continue to keep God first. Let this word permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. And again, thank you so very much for listening in. And as we get ready to go, as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. For those that are out and about, stay dry because it's raining. Or at least where I live, it's raining, and I think it's raining and snowing in some other places. So stay safe and know that you are being prayed for, and know that you are the children of the Most High God, and he loves every one of us. Thank you so much. And as we say on Moving Forward, again, it's a wrap. Before we go, though, it's the first wrap. I always like to say it's the first wrap. Because we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning is this. Good morning. Letting go of the past is only hard when you don't believe in your future. Don't be afraid. Didn't we just talk about fear? God has you have a motivated Monday. What it say? The need for courage. Isn't that it? That we should not walk in fear. What did our word say from Dr. Stanley? He said, fear and discouragement are subject to your will. Through faith in God, you can rule over them, not them over you. Remind yourself daily of what you heard God say in his word. Stay close to him and refuse to allow yourself to give in to fear and discourage that God is all in the midst. Because every day when we come back to Sister Carolyn, she always has a word, and it always works with our lesson. And we're going to read it one more time. Good morning. Letting go of the past is only hard when you don't believe in your future. Don't be afraid. God has you. Have a motivated Monday, family. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, again, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family. It is now officially a wrap. Have a blessed day.